Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Chris Holland, pastor of the Battle Creek Seventh-day Adventist Tabernacle. And now, here's Pastor Chris.
God does. Some days the devil baits a hook to see if I will bite. A lot of times it feels like I just can't do right. But I know that God does. Well, I know that God does. Sometimes I don't have the strength to go on anymore, but I know that God does. Wherever I am lacking, it's He who makes me whole, shining through the darkness and cleaning out my soul. While I'm fighting daily battles, on Him I can depend. When I open up my heart and let Him in, God does. God cares. But why? What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have gathered here to worship, and now as we worship you in the Word, open our eyes that we might see. May the power of your Holy Spirit reveal the truth to us. May we be sanctified by that truth because we know that your Word is truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 8. As a reminder of what we studied last week, which frames and sets the stage for what we will study this week, Psalm 8 says the following: O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Why does God care? Last week, and if you missed the teaching last week, you can go to the Battle Creek Tabernacle YouTube channel and find the teaching there. Why does God care? Part 1. But we saw that ultimately the answer to that question of why does God care, it is an issue of God's character. He is mighty. He is excellent. He is majestic. And he is the creator of all things. He is above that creation. And in the vast expanse of the universe, and you'll remember, some astronomers estimate that there are 2 trillion galaxies in the universe, and each of those galaxies containing hundreds of billions of stars with planets orbiting them. And while scientifically they don't call those solar systems, nevertheless, when you think about the number of stars with planets orbiting them, shall we call them maybe solar systems, that puts that number at 2 with 23 zeros after it. And if there is a mathematician that needs to correct me, I believe that that number is, in the American system, 200 sextillion. And to my British friends that may be watching, that is 200,000 trillion. And to be honest with you, that's incomprehensible. And that's what led David to ask the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that in 200 sextillion stars with planets orbiting them, that you remember man on this little speck of dust? Why does he remember? Why does he care? Why does he remember and care for me and care for you? Literally a speck of dust in the vast expanse of the universe. Why does he care for us in our broken, fallen, weak, and frail state? The resounding answer to that question, which leaps from Psalm 8 and the rest of the inspired Word of God, is that our value is not found in the questions we ask and the answers we provide. The answer to our value is not found in what we do or don't do. Our value is found in the simple fact God created us. He formed us from the dust of the ground. He breathed into us the breath of life, and we became living beings, living souls. In fact, the book of Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations." And just as Jeremiah was known before he was formed in the womb, God made us, formed us, created us, and knew who we are before any of that happened. Think about it. God, the excellent, the majestic, the caretaker of 200,000 trillion solar system-like places. The Bible says he, in the midst of taking care of all of that, he knows you. He remembers you. Think about that for a moment. Many of us have a hard time remembering what we ate for breakfast. I was going to say yesterday, but some of us don't even remember what we ate today. And in the midst of 200,000 trillion solar system-like places, God remembers you and me. He formed you. He created you. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? God cares because he created. And what's amazing is even though he created us, we disobeyed. We turned and went the other way. And it is remarkable that God didn't just wipe us out of existence. It is miraculous that he did not just simply get rid of this speck of dust. Humanity is a great failure. And as I said last week, we don't like to hear that. We only want to hear about success. We want to hear about how good we are. We want our honorable mention ribbons. We want our certificates of participation. We don't like to be confronted with the reality. We are sinners. We have failed. We are weak. We are frail. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? And this week, the Christian world has had that reality thrown right in front of our faces. As the author of over 30 books, including The Jesus I Never Knew and What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey admitted and announced that he engaged in an 8-year affair with a married woman. But let us be clear, we have all failed God. Some of the giants of Christianity failed God. Most, if not all, of the great figures of this book, the Bible, failed God. We have failed God. I have failed God. All of us have turned aside, but the Bible says, despite all of that, and maybe especially because of that, he remembers us. He is mindful of us. But more than that, he came to visit us. Returning to the scripture reading that was read just a few moments ago, Romans chapter 5. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, helping us to understand this context of who we are, answering the question, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says this, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. God did not send Christ once we became strong. God did not send Christ once we were right, so then he could send him. No, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The passage says Christ died for the ungodly. The passage says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The passage says we were enemies of Christ, but we have been reconciled, and more than reconciled, we have been saved. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? He remembers us. He visits us. He saves us. Despite how small we are, despite that this speck of dust from a pure cosmological standpoint is insignificant, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? He created us. He created you. And his care and his love runs so deep that while you were yet a sinner, while you were an enemy of God, Christ came to this speck of cosmological dust to save you, to reconcile you. That word reconcile at its very root means to change or exchange. It is a change in the state of our relationship with God. It is an exchange where we were doomed to receive wrath, but now we are saved. And let us be clear that the change that is experienced through reconciliation is not merely in the disposition of man or his legal relationship with God, but it is in the total state of our lives. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? But there's a glaring question. As we understand the excellence and majesty of God, that despite how small we are, how insignificant we are, that he remembers us, the implied question that is not asked is this: why is it that we so easily forget the one who is so great, majestic, and excellent? Each of us being so insignificant, yet God remembers. He remembers me. He cares for me. He remembers you. He cares for you. But why? Why do we so easily forget him? To understand the depth, please open your Bibles to Matthew, the 27th chapter. To understand the depth of God's love and remembering us, Matthew 27, beginning in verse 35. The Bible says, "Then they crucified him, and dividing his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him: this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him.' He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same things. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? He came to his own, and his own received him not." No, his own scourged him, reviled him, mocked him, and killed him. But before he died, something happened. Please open your Bibles to Luke 23. Luke 23, beginning in verse 32. The Bible says, "Then there were two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death." We've already read about this in the Gospel of Matthew. "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots. 'What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him?'" Skipping down to verse 39, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him?'" I want you to listen to me now very carefully. Don't miss what I'm about to share with you. When the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures were translated into Greek, the translators came to Psalm 8, and they came to the word that we have read, that I have stated over and over again: "What is man that you are mindful of him?" It is the Hebrew word zakar. And when they translated that word into Greek, they chose the Greek word mnemnesko, which translated is the word remember or recall. And then some 1,100 years later, when Dr. Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recorded the words of the thief on the cross when he said, "Lord, remember me," Dr. Luke used the word mnemnesko, the exact same word of Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful? What is man that you remember him? The thief on the cross said, "You are the one who remembers. So please remember me, even though I am a thief. I am a criminal. I am unworthy. I am undeserving. I am a sinner. Lord, you promised in Psalm 8 that you would remember man, weak, frail, broken. Remember me." And Jesus promised, "I will remember you in my kingdom. We will meet that thief on the cross in heaven. But he won't be a thief anymore. He will be a sanctified, glorified, justified saint who is on the sea of glass." And what does this have to do with the table and the emblems, the symbols of the body and blood of Christ? Because when Jesus said, after he had taken the bread, broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is the same word used in Psalm 8. Jesus is saying, I remember you. I won't forget you. Now come and remember me. When he took the cup and said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, when we come to this table and we partake of these emblems, it is us celebrating the fact that we are insignificant. We are dust. We are frail. We are broken. We are sinners. We are unworthy. But because God made you, he has made you worthy and he remembers you. And all he asks is that because I've remembered you, remember me. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. God always remembers us. And we come to this table that we might pause and remember him. By the way, the Sabbath command begins with the words, remember. God will never forget you. He does never forget you. He will never forget you, and he has never forgotten you. So we come to the table that we might pause and remember him. Small and insignificant are we. Yet he remembers. May we come to this table today and remember him. And more in particular, as we leave the table, may God give us the strength that we never forget. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the Bible, your word says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Lord, please forgive us. You've never forgotten us. But Lord, how many times have we forgotten you? Through our actions, through our deeds, through our words, through our thoughts, how many times have we forgotten? Today, Lord, we remember. And as we remember, dear God, give us the strength to never forget. Please, we are thankful that you are excellent and majestic. We are thankful that you are the creator and redeemer. We're thankful that while we were yet sinners, while we were still your enemy, you died for each of us. And in just a few moments, as we partake of these symbols, the emblems of your body and your blood, help us to remember and to never forget. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Chris Holland, pastor of the Battle Creek Seventh-day Adventist Tabernacle. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit his church this Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Battle Creek Tabernacle at 264 West Michigan Avenue in Battle Creek, and their church service begins at 10:40 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.